Clerk will call the doctor.
Michael Allen Latrell and Samantha Mary Jo Kuso, Gail Dean, Joshua A. Block, and Misha M. Grant, please stand.
You may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Gail Dady, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Michael Allen Latrell. The question here today is whether a same-sex couple can cohabit for purposes of terminating spousal support under subsection A of Virginia Code section 20-109. Both the trial court and the Court of Appeals below held that a same-sex couple cannot cohabit with each other under any circumstances. We disagree with that position, and I would like to make 3 points in support of our position. My first point is that the plain meaning of the statute applies to cohabitation with any person and is not limited to different sex couples. The General Assembly considered and then rejected limiting Section 20-109A to cohabiting with another person of the opposite sex when it was enacted in 1997. And it's not unreasonable that the General Assembly refused this limitation to prevent the exact situation that is happening here, in which a woman receiving spousal support essentially gets a windfall because she begins cohabiting in a relationship with another woman as opposed to with another man. And imposing this limitation not only adds words to the statute, it also defeats its purpose and creates an unfair situation. Mr. Latrell must continue supporting his ex-wife, even though she's living with her female fiancé. But if she were living with a male fiancé in the exact same relationship, he would have recourse under this statute and could ask the court to terminate support.
So under the Court of Appeals decision, a same-sex couple would actually have greater statutory benefits than a heterosexual couple. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
In response to that, also, with equal rights come equal responsibilities, and it's still a discriminatory treatment of this, even though it's treating same-sex couples in a better way. Mm-hmm. But neither the plain language of this statute nor its purpose suggests that the intended result was to treat same-sex couples differently from different sex couples in this context. And for my second point, even if this court concludes that at the time this statute was enacted, only a man and a woman could have cohabited, under this court's previous holdings in the Mack and Meredith cases cited in our brief, the statutory reference in the party's property settlement agreement and the reference to cohabitation as a legal term must be interpreted according to the law as it stands today, not the law as it existed when the parties made their agreement in 2008. And because the parties agreed that Mr. Latrell's obligation to continue paying spousal support was contingent on future action taken by a court pursuant to Statute 20-109 relative to cohabitation, we have to consider today that same-sex marriage is now legal in Virginia and every other state. And even if it could be argued that same-sex couples could not cohabit before the Obergefell and Bostick cases, then the definition of cohabit clearly encompasses same-sex couples today, now that they can get married just like different sex couples.
Now, in your brief, you invite us to adopt your position solely on statutory grounds. We don't have to reach Obergefell or Bostick, do we not?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. Our main position is that the plain language of this statute clearly is a gender-neutral application, and that same-sex couples were considered when the statute was first enacted and meant to be included. But also, the The Obergefell and Bostic cases are relevant here because my third point, that the doctrine of constitutional avoidance provides another reason why this court can reverse the lower court's decisions.
Well, did the lower courts have an opportunity to consider your constitutional arguments?
Yes and no. The trial court was aware of the Bostic against Schaefer case, and as was the Court of Appeals, but at that time that was a Fourth Circuit holding. The Obergefell case was decided 2 months after the Court of Appeals decision was released.
But did either court have an opportunity to consider the constitutional avoidance principle based upon those cases?
No, Your Honor. Neither court had the opportunity to consider the constitutional avoidance principle because the Obergefell case had not been decided yet. And I know that the court's decision in the Toghill against Commonwealth case last year it could be applicable here because the Obergefell case obviously is controlling on state courts now, but that wasn't decided until after the Court of Appeals.
But hadn't the Eastern District of Virginia decided the issue?
Yes, Your Honor, the Eastern District of Virginia had decided this issue, and actually the Bostic against Schaefer case had been decided in July of 2014, whereas the trial court made its decision here in August of 2014 when there was still a stay on that decision.
So there was plenty of opportunity to make the argument below, but it wasn't made.
Mr. Luttrell was acting pro se in the trial court, and he did bring up the Bostic case. He cited an incorrect citation to that, but the trial court was aware of the case and did note that a district court had held that Virginia's prohibitions on same-sex marriage, both the statute and the constitutional amendment, were unconstitutional. So the trial court was aware of that, and it appears from the Court of Appeals decision that this was interpreted based on the definition of cohabit, not whether there was a legal status being assigned to the cohabiting couple. So the lower court's decisions really were focused on the definition of cohabit and whether two people of the same sex could fall under that definition. And that's where the Bostic and Obergefell cases can come in here under the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, because right now, even the lower court's interpretation of the statute would let a person of the same sex, a person in a same-sex couple, artificially maintain spousal support from a previous marriage by cohabiting with a new partner instead of getting married, but it wouldn't allow a similarly situated different sex couple from doing the same thing. In that situation, the statute would terminate support. So it's treating people differently based on the sex of the person with whom they're cohabiting. And that creates a gender-based classification that in these circumstances can't survive scrutiny under any standard of review. Because even if it was rational
But in fairness, this argument that you're making, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that any of the lower court judges believed that was before them. Can you convince me that I'm wrong on that?
I do not believe that you're wrong on that, Your Honor. And what I would offer is that under Rule 5:25, that this court consider this statutory, the constitutional avoidance argument for good cause, given the changed situation after the Obergefell and Bostic against Schaefer cases, because the trial court wouldn't have had an opportunity to consider the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States denied certiorari on the Bostic against Schaefer case in October 2014 when the court had already made a decision on this case in August and September 2014. So
I have to say this with a smile. If we, in fact, decide it entirely on statutory grounds, thereby avoiding the constitutional question, we don't have to say that we have avoided the constitutional question, do we?
You do not, Your Honor.
Thank you.
But
I appreciate your argument. Thank you.
So to conclude, to wrap up here, unless there are any further questions, because the statute's plain language indicates that same-sex couples were always capable of cohabiting under this statute from its very enactment, and also for the constitutional reasons that I mentioned, we would ask this court to reverse the lower court's decisions and to remand this case to the trial court for further proceedings to determine whether, in fact, Ms. Cucco, the appellant, is the appellee is cohabiting with another person in a relationship analogous to a marriage.
All right. Thank you very much. For the benefit of those in our audience today who might wonder why nobody is opposing this, this very interesting issue has arisen in a dispute between two private parties, and the appellee chose not to participate. Call the next case.